Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good that we can come together to meet as one. We have a lot to thank God for. God is good, and even in this time, God is with us. God is leading us. As many of you know, it's been 10 years since our church began. We were supposed to have our anniversary celebrations, but no worries, we'll postpone that. But I thought it was good for us to reflect on what God has done for us and what is the vision of this church, what it means to be the body of Jesus Christ. So before we hear the preaching of the word, let us commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come together as your people. It is you who has brought us in your name. And dear Lord, even as we reflect on this subject, this is your body. Jesus, you are the Lord of this church. And this is something close to your heart. And we pray that we truly understand the blessing that we have received as your people, the unity that we find in you, the wonderful work, Lord, that you do among your people. We pray that the glory, the goodness, the vision of the church will be clear to us. And as we see these things, Lord, we pray that we will understand and be grateful for all the things that you have been doing in our lives, for your faithfulness, for the spiritual gifts that has been such a blessing in transforming us. We want to thank you. We want to celebrate your name. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon title is The Local Church. The scripture text is taken from Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 till 17. Let me read the passage to you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is an incredible passage which Paul writes to the body, he writes to the church, and I think what he continues to tell the church is what they have become in Christ, and he encourages them to continue to persist on that path, to look to the things that God has done for them. Now, when you talk about celebrating an anniversary, especially a church one, we are always mindful of the many people who contributed towards the church, the things that they have done. But the one person that really matters and has made this church what the church is Jesus Christ. The fact that we have seen him and our eyes are on him, it's what that is the most important thing that has made the church what it is today. It is His heart, His vision. It's when our hearts and our minds are set on Him, when we are full of who He is, we see a wonderful blessing. We begin to see good things unfold in our life. He has been the vision for the church. He has been the compass, the guide, the shepherd of the church. And we know that everything has changed simply because we see a part of us dying, and our lives now is hidden in Christ Jesus, and He is our future glory. So what this whole journey about is setting our hearts and minds on Jesus Christ, looking at Him, you know, where Christ is we are not remaining here thinking of earthly things, but rather who He is and what He has done. He's at the right hand of the Father. And what we must be reminded of, the very Christ of the Gospels, the Christ who came to us, who embraced a simple life, who stripped His glory, who suffered, who embraced all the experiences that we experience as people. And He did all this because He loved us and cared for us. He came to the sinners. He searched out those who were lost. He was kind and forgiving. He stood for what was just and true. He rebuked the hypocrites. And the list goes on. He is the servant king, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, the King of kings and Lord of all. He is the one who laid down His life for us at the cross, and He rose again. And this person, this Jesus, is the very Jesus that God raised and placed Him in the most high place. He is at the right hand of God the Father, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one whom we serve. And that's what makes the church the church. Jesus Christ, looking to Him as Lord, embracing the life that He lived here on earth, looking to Him as an example, following Him. He is the author and the perfecter of this church. And that's what this passage is all about. And that's the vision of the church. A church that sets its heart and its minds on Jesus Christ. That we are not consumed by the things of this world. That we don't measure success according to the way the world measures it. But rather, all that we have, all that becomes of us, is based on what Christ has done on the cross. It's based on the life that He gave, the power that He brings into our hearts. It's all about Jesus. And we are celebrating this. I think it's important when you read this passage, you read it with faith, because whatever your experiences, these truths remain. You and I are blessed. We have a Savior. We have a God who loves us dearly. And He is holding us in His hands. We are hidden in His life. The other thing that the church has to be certain about is the future promises. Because we are raised with Christ, because we are hidden in Him, because we have died to the old self. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. As much as we don't see the full extent of the glory of Christ in us, that will be revealed when Christ returns. We would share in His glory. His light, His goodness will be seen in our lives. The whole picture of redemption, the thing that was stripped away from us, and the new life that is given to us, made holy, made the people of God, that glory, that goodness will be seen in its fullness. And that's what we live for. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. And we are waiting for His return. We are waiting for that day where we will receive from Him the new bodies, and where we will see in Him the fullness of His work on the cross. This is what the church is all about. That is the glory that we pursue. So when we think about all these things, you know, we should be glad simply because the whole thing about being a church, being the people of God, does not depend on us. It depends on Jesus Christ. And you know what? The gospel tells us that he succeeded in all of these things. He was sinless. His sacrifice was received by the Father. And all of the things that we could not do for ourselves, he did it for us. And we are received based on his merit, based on his works. We are made righteous and we receive a new life. So sometimes, you know, when we talk about change, we would quip that how nice if change was like changing clothes, how nice we just could discard the old and take on the new. What's interesting about this passage, this is how Paul actually describes change in this passage. To take off the old clothes and put on the new clothes. He says it here, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That's what Christ has done for us. He has given us new clothes. He has given us the power to discard the old clothes that belong to the devil. The very thing that has consumed us, that was a bondage over our life, that has chained us in sin, in shame, in guilt and condemnation. In Christ, we are able to throw away and discard it. This is what Christ has done for us. And that's what the whole journey of being a church is all about. We see that change. We see that divine exchange. People come with the old and they discard it and receive the new because of Jesus Christ. The old is nailed on the cross. The new life is given to each one of us. This is what we are celebrating as a church, this transformation. And that's the most exciting thing about being a church. You know, when God was speaking to us about planting this work, the one thing that was very, that weighed heavily in our hearts is, how come a lot of people don't see this as something that God gives so freely? Why people don't embrace change? In fact, why Christians still look to the world and don't look to God and receive the change that he gives so freely? God put in our hearts very clearly that this whole invitation to be like Christ is possible. And we should never let the devil lie to us. We should never let our failures frustrate us. We will be transformed because he is able to do it. And that's the message that God put in our hearts. And when we see this message unfold in our lives, that is the joy of being a church. That is the celebration over this past 10 years. God making us new and renewing us in the knowledge of his image, making us more like him. It's amazing that God has opened that door and granted us access to be like him. And that's what we hold on to as a church. A new self. You know, when we are in Jesus, we have no use for the things that hurt us. We begin to see God sculpting us and making us more and more like him. And the more we are shaped differently, the more the old things don't fit us anymore. We have no use for these things, and therefore we rightly get rid of the old. As Paul says, he used to walk in this ways, and that's what people come into the presence of God for. They want to discard the thing that used to be their ways of life. They want something new. And in the presence of God and as a community, we are able to see the renewing work of Jesus Christ. That is the vision. That is the celebration. That is the songs we lift to God. That is the testimony of the people. We are made in the image of Jesus Christ. So what Paul tells us to put to that is the things that destroy us, that deface us. Here he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, there's a whole list of sexual sins, and we can understand the need for this. The society during that time was very perverse in this way. And we see the kind of problems these lusts bring into our present world, and how it treats people and uses people, and how it does not respect every good thing as relationships, the respect between men and women, the trust between husband and wife is all broken because of such lust and desires. And God came to remove these things because these things destroy us. And one of the things that stands out here is covetousness, you know, which is greed. What it implies is using things and persons for one's own benefit and self-interest. And that's the life we used to live. We thought it was all about us, and therefore we had permission to use anyone or anything for our purpose. And here I've written, the self ceases to be evil when it ceases to be God. It's a statement modified from something I read from C.S. Lewis. And this is so true. Every time we think we are God, you know, we think we have the right to use people and things for our own self-interest. And what we clearly know and understand just by observing this world, just by observing what's happening in every arena, the politics, in the businesses, in the homes, we know when someone starts to do this, things fall apart, things go wrong, and people are abused and people are hurt. And it goes down and down the line, you know, and people are abused in horrendous ways because of this idea that someone believes that they have the right to do it. And God hates these things, and His wrath will come against it. But God is telling us, you know, these things we can discard. We no longer need to be under such a bondage. We no longer have to be instruments of this destruction, because Christ has come to us. He has become our Lord, and we worship Him. And this becomes things of the past. And again, I do want you to pay attention how clear the command is: discard, okay? Put to death. These things don't belong to you anymore. That is the joy of the church, the proclamation of the church. These things are no longer our masters. We have stepped out of darkness into His glorious light. And it goes on to put another list, the things that we need to rid ourselves of, you know, as you see an image, rubbish that needs to be thrown out, same kind of things that does damage to us, damage to our relationships, to our unity, to life here. Okay, and he says, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The list here speaks about our tongue and our attitude, and you know how bad attitude can destroy anything. If you have someone who has a negative attitude, who is critical, who is arrogant, who is selfish, you know, who does not respect people, who looks down on others, such attitudes pervert relationships, destroy, you know, ostracize a group of people. They cast out people like nothing, you know, they treat people like nothing. And the words used on others, as you can see what's happening even in social media, in the language of media, the words used are horrible. Okay, the attitude shown is terrible. Okay, and the world is trying to address these things, but the way it's addressing it, it is by doing more of the same thing, and it's dividing people more and more. It's making speech more hostile, and it's hurting and judging people in a way that it should not happen. And again, Paul says, just get rid of these things. We have the power to do these things. We no longer live in darkness. It's time we pack these things and throw away. And that's the joy of doing ministry, is to see how the power of God would come into a life of an individual. And suddenly they realize they don't need to hold on to these things. Whatever they've experienced, whether they have done evil things or they've been victims to evil things, there is an exchange in the presence of God, and these things are cast away. and replace with the love and goodness of God, which we will see in this passage. Simply because when we look above, the worldly things have no power and have no use for us, but rather we are carried by His power, His love, His goodness. So there is a deep change, a drastic change of attitude. So Jesus speaks about this. He invites us to discard the things that defile us. You know, there were people complaining about the eating habits of Jesus and His disciples, but Jesus went on to say it's not what we consume that defiles us, rather that what that comes out from our hearts that defile us. Okay, and here He says, He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. All these come from the heart. All this used to come from the heart, but now the heart and the mind is renewed in Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. You know, all these things defile, okay? What it means to damage the purity or appearance of something, to mar or spoil it, you know, like that image. To take something and throw filth at it as to destroy it, okay? As to pervert it. And that's what sin does. And that's what the devil wants to do, because he does not want us to be the kind of people we were made to be, made in the image of our Creator. But Jesus helps us to discard these things like old clothes, throw it away, and receive new clothes from His presence. This is what the church is all about, to see this take place in the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what follows after this is we all wear the same new clothes given by God. We all have the same new identity. And Paul says here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I think when you read the Gospels, you begin to see the Pharisees starts to grade people, who is holy and who is not holy. And you find that it is kind of easy for us to fall in that kind of thinking, where we look at the people around us and judge who is better, which culture is better, which group is better, which is more educated, which is more affluent, and we gather with the thing that we see fit, or, you know, we are more comfortable with, and we are prejudiced with the rest. Okay, so, you know, in Christ, this does not apply, simply because all have received new clothes from Jesus Christ. All have been blessed and accepted and forgiven by Him. And therefore, all are the same in His sight. So we are united in Jesus. And that's the amazing thing about the church. We learn to see everyone as equals made in the image of God. There is reconciliation between men and women, between races, between the old and young, you know, between the rich and the poor, because the value is an inherent value. The value a person has is not dependent on what they have done, but rather it is a God-given value. They are made in the image of God. And suddenly we start speaking differently. We don't talk down or we don't talk up. Rather, we talk with our hearts open. We talk in love, because we are love. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I think one thing I learned as a pastor, I mean, in the younger days, there was this arrogance and the belief, yes, I knew better. And there was the impatience and the talking down that came with it. And that's never helpful. Okay. When God convicted my heart and began to discard these things, and I began to see, you know, that we have to respect people, and it is good when we talk to people in such a way. In fact, I was so blessed when God sent people in my life who spoke to me in such a way, who showed me that respect and grace and love, and spoke to me as someone who knew God and loved God. Okay, and then that changed everything. So, you know, we are not like the Pharisees. We are not hypocritical. There's no classes in church. Yes, every culture has its strength and its weakness, but that does not matter anymore simply because we know our strengths and our weaknesses add to nothing in this presence of Jesus Christ. What really matters is what He did on the cross, and what matters in each person is that they have the Holy Spirit. They belong to Jesus Christ. They are chosen by Him, holy and dearly loved. And that's the good news. As a pastor, it's not me alone who is called and chosen, but rather everyone is called and chosen. And we help each other realize that call, that chosenness, you know. And we help people to grow more and more in the idea that they are dearly loved. So look at this passage, church. I mean, look at the words Paul is using when he speaks of the church, when he speaks of the people of God, chosen, holy, and dearly loved. So he's telling them, you know, these all things are not worth you, you know, it's not you. This is who you really are. This is your new identity in Jesus Christ. You are chosen by God. You are a chosen people. You know, an idea that we see in the Old Testament, the joy of being God's chosen, God's elect, you know, the bride of Jesus Christ, holy and dearly loved, set apart for His purpose. That's what holy means, you know, only for Him, okay? Because we are dearly loved by Him. And that's the language the Bible uses when it describes us. And that's the language the church uses when we talk to each other. This is how we see one another. And that's the celebration of the church, the ability to see people in this way. And to see God bring this reality out from their hearts. You know, to remove things that defile us and to see and to allow and encourage the Spirit of God that sanctifies us and makes us more like Jesus Christ. And the picture here shows us the picture of Pentecost, and that's what happened. The Holy Spirit came, you know, and people begin to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. At one point, the Gentiles were not accepted, but when God sent Peter to the Gentiles, God showed Peter that they are accepted by pouring out the Holy Spirit upon them. And when he went and reported to the elders, he says, look here, you know, I preached a message and God gave them the Holy Spirit. And everyone agreed. We are all accepted because of what Jesus Christ has done. He is pouring out the Holy Spirit on all people. Okay. And that's what the church celebrates. The Holy Spirit is in each of your lives. He has anointed you and He will continue to fill you with His Spirit because you are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And then he goes on to describe the new life. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now look at this list. Clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All right. So when you look at any organization, the organization has a charter, has a vision, what the organization is all about. And it's amazing as we look at this passage, what the church is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about what He has done. And because it's about Jesus, it's about compassion. It's about kindness. It's about humility, gentleness, and patience. The God whom we serve values these characters, these virtues above all things. And He lived it and He illustrated it through His life. In fact, He encompasses all these virtues in perfection. Okay, He is compassion. He is kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience because He is love. And there is none like Him. And because we are hidden in Him, that's who we are. As Paul argues, he says, because you are chosen, dearly loved, okay, and sanctified. You are made holy, you know, because God holds you that way, because you are the recipients of God's compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, that's what you are. You know, you are this cup being filled with these things. And Paul says, let it overflow. The same way God carries you, the way He bore you, you bear with each other. The same way God has forgiven us and continues to forgive us for the many things that we do it for the others. The way God understands that we are a work in progress, we show the same mercy and grace to others. And that's the joy of the church. You know, it's exciting to see when people show this kind of virtues to one another, to teach others to be like this. It is exciting when we see that happen in the lives of children, in adults, in families, you know, among different communities, especially in a time like this where people are going through difficulty. If people start to come down and show compassion, kindness, and humility, and is gentle and patient with the suffering people, this would be an amazing time, okay? This is what God wants us to clothe ourselves in. This is the new clothes He gives us. And all this is kept together in His love. And therefore it says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And we see this in the scriptures again and again, as Jesus tells us to love one another as He has loved us. So the message of the church is this, you know, we tell and we show and we pray over people, and the message is God loves them, Jesus loves them. And as the message penetrates their heart and mind, as the message covers them, this message is lived out in life. It becomes their clothes. It becomes their way of life. This is the potential of the church. Now, please don't be harsh and judge yourself and discard yourself and say, you are not in this picture, because we all have to agree God has been doing this work in our life. And there are many moments and stories and times when we see God do this in our life. When we see God's goodness overflow in our life, when we are driven to show kindness and patience to one another, we see God, you know, pouring out His love into the hearts of people. We have seen people so broken, so hurting, people who have gone through very hard and difficult experience in life, and through prayers, God graciously comes and embraces them and carry them through. And then we see them give testimonies. People who were not loved and rejected in life, and then they say, oh, you know, I've received so much love and acceptance through the church. This is what God does for us. And the next thing is peace and gratefulness. You know, these are important gifts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Okay, we are invited to know the peace that comes from God. We are no longer enemies. We are no longer away. We are reconciled to the Father. We are known as sons and daughters of God. And God has deposited His presence in our hearts, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are people who are grateful to God. You see, that's the thing. You know, we mix celebrations small when we celebrate it the worldly way. When we talk about numbers, when we talk about our greatness, when we talk about our talent, our abilities, you know, who we are and how people applaud us. But the real blessing of a church is Jesus, and it's what He has done. And therefore, the church is a worshiping community. The church is a hopeful community. A church, you know, understands peace simply because we know people, they succeed at times, they fail at times. But Jesus, no, He is always the same. And He is the one holding us. Peacemakers, you know, we reach out to people. We begin to feel grateful for those around us. We value life simply because of what Christ has done for us. So here in the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 1, and it's an amazing chapter. And Paul breaks forth in praise. You know, this is the longest sentence, and he just goes on without stopping, describing every blessing that God has given us, every blessing we have as a church. This is what we are celebrating. This is what we must remember. This is what we are throughout the ages. You know, this is what makes us the people. And Paul writes, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I just list the things, okay, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us, not us choosing holiness. He chose us and he does the work. In love, he predestined us for adoption. You know, he adopts us as his children. In him, okay, we receive the forgiveness of sins, okay. And God's grace, you know, he lavishes on us. Lavish, that's the word used. He pours out grace so freely. He made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ. And the gospel is known to us. We know who Jesus is. And because we know Jesus, we understand the will of God, because he lived out the will of God perfectly. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the gospel, when you believed. We heard, we believed. And out of that, God poured out the Holy Spirit as a seal, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. All this God has done. So we are definitely people who are filled with peace. I mean, there is a lot of talk that there are those prosperity preachers and this world that tells us, you know, peace comes when you have all the money and all the power and all the control. But we see this happening again and again. You know, people accumulate, but there's no peace. They are still, you know, they still want to covet. They still want more. They are still greedy. Okay, and they don't know what gratefulness is all about. But look at our blessings. Look at the list that we have deposited to us. A God who looks to us kindly with love. That is the church, and that's what we are celebrating as the people of God. The other greatest thing that is given to us is the Word of God. God speaks to us. God reveals himself to us. God works through our life through his Word. It's like a person who is like a tree that is planted by the river, who bears fruit in season, who does not wither, okay? And not like the wicked, which is chaff that is blown away. So it is the Word of God, and we have been given that Word. And that Word is revealed to us. And Paul says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. The word is spoken from a place of gratitude. We speak of the word with joy, with expectation, simply because God's word is true. And here, Paul says the effectiveness of the word. It's through the knowledge of the word we are renewed in the image of its creator. Like Jesus says, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing, and the words I've spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. It's his word. The way his word made the entire universe, his word is making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active. And I want to, we should really thank God, as much as there's been so many forces trying to destroy the word of God, trying to corrupt it, trying to stop us from preaching it in all its purity and truth. But God continues to declare his word to us because we are his people. God speaks to us, and that's the joy of being church, you know, where you listen to a conversation of one person telling another how God spoke to them through his word and how that changed everything. This is the power of God. And finally, it's in Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the church. Well, you're not doing things for anyone. You know, you're not doing things for me. You're not doing to impress people. I'm not doing to impress you. But rather, all we are doing together is for Him who has done everything for us. Okay? You know, if you do things for others in His name, it is meaningful. But if you just do it in order to receive the praises of men, you know what will happen. One day you are up, the next day you are down. One day you are accepted, the next day you are rejected. And men are fickle, and the world is messed up, and the world feels that it can bully you, you know, by playing the acceptance and rejection game, and we think we can do that to one another, you know, in a way that is toxic and demeaning. Okay, that's the world, all right, you know. But when it comes to the church, you know, we are clear. All this is about Him. It's about Jesus for His glory. It's about the Father. It's about the Spirit, His presence within us. And all that we do is enabled by Him. It's in Him, it's through Him, and it's for Him. And it will be celebrated by Him when He returns. This is the church, the glorious bride of Jesus Christ. When you read the book of Revelation, how the saints rejoice in worship, in gratefulness, and the life that we look forward to in Jesus Christ is amazing. This is who we are. So church, we are celebrating these things. And not only are we celebrating it, we continue to pray and live this. We continue to look forward to these things as our vision. We continue to search our hearts as, you know, as we see God unfold these truths, this blessing in our hearts. And it's not to one or two individuals, rather it is to a community of people. People from different backgrounds, from different races, coming together as one people, loving, supporting one another. People who are able, sharing with others. People who are gifted, using it to serve others. The amazing unity that we have in Jesus Christ, where one part of the body hurts, all of us hurt. And when one rejoices, all of us rejoice, because we are connected, you know, by and through Jesus Christ. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in His love. So church, this is the blessing. As you look at all this, let's not get too, you know, caught up by the fact, you know, that sin and change is so powerful. No, it is not. Jesus is. What we have to be mindful of is to be fixed on doing this journey together as one people, focused on God together, worshiping God together, speaking to each other in psalms and spiritual songs, you know, teaching one another, encouraging one another, caring for one another. That's how we see this amazing book unfold in our life. And God has made the church. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And the enemy cannot overcome the work that Christ is doing in your life. So this is our joy. Let's celebrate what God has done. I would encourage you to take time to think of all these promises, to remember all the times that these blessings were given to you. All these truths came into existence, you know, became a reality in your life. Think of the moments God has healed you, how God has removed your sin, how graciously God has forgiven each one of us. We are so blessed as the people of God, and that's what it means to be a church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You. As Your people, as Your church, it is You, Lord, who have done everything for us. It is You who have defined us. It is You who have given us a new identity. It is You who unites us, dear Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will continue to pursue greater things, that we'll continue to seek these greater things unfold in our life, that our hearts will be filled with hope, with joy, as we have heard your words. That the peace, Lord, the security of knowing that it is you who is in front of us, and it is you who will complete this task, Lord. Lift us, Lord, from where we are. Dear God, let us believe, Lord, that in your name, that through your power, we are able to discard the things that are hurting us, dear Lord. Things that we don't want to carry anymore. The things of the old, dear Lord. Dear God, let us know, Lord, and remember, every time we look to you, we find something better. So, Lord, let us come into this place of joy. Let us come into this place of celebration. Let us be certain of the future that we have in you. And come, Lord, and continue to build this church to be your people, to bear your image in this broken world. Continue, Lord, to lift us, to speak to those around us of the freedom that comes through you, Jesus, that we may declare the gospel, that we may lift the gospel. Dear Lord, let us believe, Lord, that we are the instruments of change because you have changed us. Let us continue to grow in the Spirit and in your word. Let us be mindful of your presence. You said you will not leave us as orphans, and you have sent us God the Spirit. Let us be sensitive to his voice. Let us be able to acknowledge his presence daily in our lives, dear God. Lift us. We truly thank you, Lord, for these 10 years. You have done amazing things, and every word you have spoken here is true. And we pray, dear Lord, that we will continue to serve you with all our hearts, that we will choose you above all things, that our minds and our hearts will be set on you. We thank you. Let's continue to worship the Lord.
You bring life, you are love, you bring light to heart that is broken. Great are you,
Father. We truly want to thank you. It is so wonderful to be here. It's so exciting and joyful. We are full of praise. We are so grateful, dear God. Lead us, dear God. Continue to keep us in your love. Dear Lord, let us know your heart. Let us live for your glory. Dear God, we pray that you would make us a blessing, that the goodness that you show us will overflow from our lives. We see so much brokenness around us. And dear Lord, we are broken because you are broken by these things. And you want us to represent you. That is our calling. Let us rise, dear Lord, and do this work. Let us not be buried or overwhelmed by the things we see in this world, but let us set our eyes on you. You are doing great things in a time like this. You are our God and Savior. So Lord, draw us, Lord, into your presence. Lift this church, send us out in your name. Fill us with your Spirit, equip us with your word. Let us proclaim your greatness to all nations and peoples. We thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.